Okay, so here's another foreign policy question, kind of broad. Relates both to ISIS in the Middle East and to the Ukraine. You know, so what should U.S. current foreign policy be? You know, what should be a proper response to Russian aggression and to the situation in Middle East? What is U.S. Self-interest? Should we intervene? Where should we intervene? When should we intervene? And so on. Now, I've talked a lot about this, but let me try to capture kind of the essence and the principle here. The principle is that the role of government is to protect American individual rights, the lives and property of Americans. So the question is the Russian invasion of Ukraine a threat to the lives and property of Americans? And my answer to that is absolutely not. It's not. Yeah, Putin might become more aggressive and he might go after Poland and he might go after Germany, but that's Germany's problem. It's not our problem. Is Putin powerful enough to threaten the United States? In my view, the answer is clearly no, particularly if the Europeans actually saw him as a threat, build up a defense budget. They could probably take on the Russians themselves. They don't necessarily need us to do that. And if they can't, then they can't. It's not the job of Americans to protect the world from bullies, from bad guys. If Putin threatens America, if Putin threatens Americans, then the United States should intervene. Now, this goes back, you know, people always compare Putin to Hitler or have compared Putin to Hitler. And maybe there's some similarities. But Ayn Rand was always against the United States intervening in World War II. As long as the threat was contained to Europe and as long as the war was fought over there, she was against the United States intervening. And, you know, I agree with her. Yes, she also argued that if we just let the Russians and the Germans fight it out, and if we hadn't helped the Russians, you know, we helped the communists who were as bad of an oppressive regime as Hitler was, they would have just fought each other to death and killed each other. Her view was this, that totalitarian regimes cannot ultimately be powerful and strong. They can be successful in the short run, but then they die out. They collapse because they are institutions of death. People are not creative. People can't be productive. And ultimately, these institutions turn against themselves and collapse. And this is what happened to the Soviet Union. Ayn Rand believed the Soviet Union would have collapsed a lot earlier if not for the Détente, if not for our helping them. If you remember, we fed the Soviet Union during the 1970s when they had massive famines. Who knows if the Soviet Union hadn't collapsed a lot earlier if the United States hadn't helped them out. So my view is no. Ayn Rand was also against the war in Vietnam, which I agree with. Yeah, the Soviets, in a sense, communism was expanding. It wasn't threatening the United States. It wasn't threatening American lives and property. And therefore, you know, let them expand. Let them do what they do. It's horrible. It's horrible for the people who now are under Putin or would be were under communism. But it's not the job of the American government to do something about it. By the way, in terms of World War II, once Germany declared war on the United States after Pearl Harbor, we had no option but to engage and participate in that war, crush the enemy, and win that war, which we did, of course. But that's a different situation than the Middle East. The Middle East, they're clearly killing Americans. In the Middle East, they're threatening Americans. They've already dramatically confiscated our property. Oil in the Middle East was developed and produced by American, among others, oil companies, and it was stolen from them in broad daylight. They threaten our citizens. They fly airplanes into our buildings. They kill Americans all over the world. They have been for decades. The Islamists of whatever persuasion, the jihadists, Sunni, Shiite, are out to kill Americans. This is a war of self-defense. This isn't some theory, if they get powerful enough because they get emboldened enough, they'll come after us. They're already after us. So here, we're at war with them, whether we know it or not, whether we recognize it or not. We have to crush them, defeat them thoroughly. This ISIS, you know, IS, Islamic State, is just the latest manifestation of this. But this has been going on forever, and we predicted that this would happen going back to 9/11, after 9/11. We have to resolutely define the enemy and destroy it. And the enemy is not just Islamic State. It's Iran, which supports all the Shiite terrorists and all the Shiite jihadists. It's Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, which support ISIS. Where did ISIS come from? Where did they get the money? Where did they get the funding? Where did they get the spiritual support? It all comes from the Gulf states, which have the money and the support. It all comes from Saudi Arabia, which, in spite of claiming they're against ISIS, supports them, or at least elements within the royal family support them through charities and so on. So it means a comprehensive strategy to defeat Islamic totalitarianism or jihadism in the Middle East. And unless we have such a comprehensive strategy, we cannot win. So that's a war we have to engage in, because it's already been started. So far, we're losing, and we will continue to lose unless we start thinking about it strategically and taking it seriously. I recommend anybody interested in this, two books. One is Peter Schwartz's book about foreign policy, which is available on our website to purchase on Amazon as well, and Ilan Giono's book on winning the unwinnable war. Both books, Peter Schwartz sets out the theoretical foundation for a foreign policy of self-interest, and Ilan's book is both theoretical and then a practical, how do we do it with regard to the Middle East?